Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman riding solo tonight, but we have a multitude of guests to get to tonight here on the Gus Bradley Show. And the reason that I'm riding a little bit solo tonight is Gus Bradley and his football team have a walkthrough tonight, which is typical during two-a-day practices. They are, this time of year, will have a padded practice, whether it be shoulder pads. And today was the second day of full pads for this football team. And then tonight, they have a walkthrough. So we have lined up some great guests for the Gus Bradley Radio Show. We're going to have Peter King, the famed Peter King from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, who was actually in Jacksonville this week, earlier this week. He was scheduled to watch practice at Mandarin High School on Monday night that was obviously canceled because of lightning and rain and the injury risk, and not only to the players but also the fans as well. So he didn't get a chance to watch much of the practice, the shortened one that they had here at the stadium. He did. He spent a lot of time talking to the head coach, Gus Bradley, and also Dave Caldwell, which, you know, well, the one thing about a big-name guy like a Peter King, you know, a lot of these guys have a tendency to be very open, you know, very open with a guy of the magnitude of Peter King. He's been with Sports Illustrated for a long time. In fact, Peter was covering the National Football League back when I was playing, and got to know Peter way back then. I don't know exactly how many years he's been at Sports Illustrated, but it's been a very long time. He's an accomplished writer, 5 books, NBC's Football Night in America on Sunday nights. But we're going to have him on, talk about his conversations with Dave Caldwell, the general manager, and also the head coach, Gus Bradley. We'll also get his thoughts on some young quarterbacks around the National Football League, 4 young quarterbacks that he did some stuff with the Monday Morning Quarterback with. And then also, a little note here. This week in the National Football League, the officials have pretty much scattered around the National Football League's teams' training camps to allow them to get some reps. And it doesn't surprise me that the first female official, Miss Sarah Thomas, is in Jacksonville. Now, why do you say that doesn't surprise me? This is a pretty big move for the National Football League to have a female official working in the regular ranks. And I think that they put her in Jacksonville because Jacksonville is considered one of the smallest, if not the smallest, media market that there is in the National Football League. So no surprise there. We'll get Peter's impressions on that. Also talk to him about what he believes will be the Super Bowl matchup coming up. And then later on during the Gus Bradley Show, we're going to work to have a couple of the personnel guys in from the Jaguars. Right now they're in meetings, but we're hoping to have Andy Dingler, who is the assistant director of player personnel in his 17th year with the Jacksonville Jaguars, has covered a wide range of personnel. I know he's done college, and now he's over college and pro both, and that's why the assistant director of player personnel title comes from. And then we're also going to look to have Chris Driggers, who has been with the Jacksonville Jaguars since the very beginning, 21 years here with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he is the director of pro personnel, graduate of University of Alabama. And we're going to kind of break it up a little bit. I want to talk with Andy about the offensive side of the ball, in specifics the offensive line, because there's some great position battles going on there. And then also a little bit about the quarterback. Just a couple news and notes. You know, this week and all through training camp, they have been alternating the centers to create that competition. You have Stefan Wisniewski rotating with Luke Bianco. They've been rotating every day. Yesterday was Stefan Wisniewski's day. Today was Luke Bianco's day. And I've got some interesting thoughts and some questions for these scouts about what the final roster composition may end up being, because a lot of people think that the competition just remains at center. And in reality, it goes much further than that. You know, when you're starting to break down a roster and look at a roster evaluation, you have to be able to factor in other players at other positions and positional flexibility. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, Luke Bianco and Stefan Wisniewski can both play center, and they can also play guard possibly. Tyler Shatley, who right now is running with the third team offense at the center position, has positional flexibility. He can play guard as well. You know, so some of the decisions that may happen at center may impact what happens at left guard. The right side of the offensive line is pretty much set in stone. We know that it's going to be Brandon Linder at right guard. We know for sure that it's going to be the free agent acquisition, Jeremy Parnell at right tackle. By the way, both of those guys together have looked absolutely outstanding on the offensive line. So we're going to look with those, you know, at that position group, with the scouts, because these are the guys that are out at practice every day evaluating the position groups and are having the conversations behind closed doors. We'll see if we can pry those doors open a little bit and get a little bit of information from them about how they envision this offensive group playing out. And the reason I bring up some of the positional flexibilities and how you have to look at other positions to determine who's going to play center, for example, let's say that Stefan Wisniewski does not win the starting center job, and it's Luke Pawanka. Well, Stefan Wisniewski has starting experience at guard. He started out his rookie season as a guard and then moved to center. So could he impact what happens at left guard with Zane Beals? We know that last year he did not have, you know, a season that was expected of a free agent acquisition. And then, if Wisniewski ends up winning the starting center job, can Luke Pawanka maybe move over to that guard position? You know, Tyler Shatley's in the mix. Tyler Shatley on Sunday and the first padded practice yesterday had about as an impressive as a physical practice that you could ask. He might have been more physical and stronger than Wisniewski and Pawanka. So you can't take him out of the equation because he is in that conversation at that center position. Now, the big question mark, obviously, is going to be Luke Jokel. I thought Luke Jokel on Sunday, the first padded practice, had an outstanding day. Had a good day yesterday. Today, you know, had a couple things here and there that maybe weren't so great. But that's part of the growth process for a left tackle position, learning what he can and cannot do. But I expect improvement. I've seen improvement. The best part about the development of Luke Jokel is that he has an outstanding coach. Doug Marrone, watching him work with the offensive line, has been incredible, absolutely incredible. You can see the teaching techniques and the fundamentals. You know, when the team goes out on the field at the start of every practice, they always have a special teams period. That starts practice. The big guys kind of filter out. The defensive linemen filter out. The offensive linemen filter out. But the offensive line filters out before anybody else, the defensive line namely, because they're working with Doug Marrone, and it's not that they're banging heads and having strenuous physical activity during the special teams drill, but it's a great, great teaching opportunity for Doug Marrone and his offensive line, and they're taking advantage of it. That group right now, you can see significant progress. Obviously, we got to wait until we actually see it on game night, which will occur next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you can start to see progress. During the offensive and defensive line drills, you can see that the guys are starting to work together. They do a drill called one-on-one pass rush. And last year, the combination of Zane Beadles and Luke Jokel did not work well together on that left side. Sometimes they got on different levels, and when you would have a game or a stunt on that side of the ball, that side of the ball fell short of expectations. You can see that side of the ball working together. You can see Brandon Linder and Jeremy Parnell working very well together on the other side of the ball. So I think these are some of the things that Doug Marrone and Luke Butkus are working very well with. So positive stuff. And we're, you know, working on getting Peter King. I know that there's a lot going on this week, Peter King's travel schedule. And obviously this weekend you got the Hall of Fame game, so we're going to work to get him. Let's go ahead and take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. I want to remind everybody, join John Osher and J.P. Shadrick for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. They'll have special guests keep you informed with the latest Jaguar news and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. And you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. We're going to keep trying to get Peter King, but Peter won't answer his phone. And so what we did is we went to the bullpen and we got the A-listers. What are you laughing at? You guys are the A-listers. I want to make sure I get all the titles right. Okay. We'll start with Kyle O'Brien. It's director of college personnel, right?
Yeah. College scouting, yes, sir.
College scouting. We have Andy Dingler, assistant director of player personnel. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 17 years with the Jaguars. Is that right?
Yep. Starting 18.
17 years. And Kyle, this is year three?
Yes.
Year three with the Jaguars. Now let's go to kind of the old man, even though, Kyle, you got all the gray hair. And that is the director of pro personnel, Chris Driggers. Been here 21 years.
And see, I'm not the oldest here.
You're not the oldest.
No, Andy is.
Now, I was told, too, because I texted Chris about you guys coming on, and he said that a brawl may happen. A scouting brawl could happen in the radio studio.
Three men enter, one man leave.
And the reason I say a brawl, in scouting, opinions are everything, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a strong opinion, you're not willing to fight for your opinion. Your opinion really doesn't hold much sway in a room, does it?
That's correct. You need to be able to fight for what you believe in and what you see, and both as a player and, you know, as a person. You know, sometimes it's you really like the player, you might not like the person as well. So you've got to have a conviction.
Have you guys had, because, you know, in the National Football League, you always hear stories that kind of happen behind closed doors where coaches or coaching a player or players get into heated arguments that turn into a pushing match. Does that even happen in scouting, too, just because of the differences of opinion?
I've heard of it happening around the league, but we have such a good setup here, and I think so many guys, veteran scouts, that have such respect for each other in their profession and as people, that it really has never come to anything close to that for us. I mean, we may have heated discussions, and we may have lively discussions and just agree to disagree, but it's never been physical. But I don't know, these guys, you hear about it, you definitely have.
How many days, the three of you each, approximately how many days in a year are you guys on the road? We'll start with you, Andy.
I would say 220 to 230 days a year I'm on the road.
Okay.
By the time I'm down here for meetings and, you know, traveling over the United States, spring, in the fall, so it's quite a bit of time.
So essentially two-thirds of a year
I would definitely,
you're on the road.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Kyle, how about you? With college being your focal point, I would have to think just as many.
Actually, not quite as many as Andy, because like he said, he lives up in Ohio. I live here. So
okay.
A lot of the times, you know, we're meeting as a staff, and as it gets closer to the draft, Dave brings the guys in, and we're meeting here. I'm on the road 150-plus nights
a year. And Chris, how many, I mean, pro personnel, you can't go to Dallas Cowboys practice and watch their practice. So a lot of your evaluation is done on game film.
Right, game film.
And then past college evaluation. So I would imagine you're probably on the road the least.
Yeah, it was a big adjustment because I was on the college side for so long. And then when you come off the road and get into the pro side, you know, the advanced scouting that we do, you know, looking at our upcoming opponent, that's probably takes up 6 to 10 weeks for myself, Chris Poley, and now John Idzik will help out with that. And that's in the fall. That'll be weekends. And then as you get into the postseason, it's the Senior Bowl, the Combine, that kind of are big chunks of travel that these guys, you know, they do it all the time. But and maybe an occasional spring workout, pro timing day that Dave will send me on, or Kyle or Andy will put me on, but not nearly as much travel as those guys have.
And how many guys are under Dave Caldwell, approximately, ballpark?
We have 6 area scouts. We got one over the top, assistant director, myself, Andy, the pro department. Mm-hmm. So
3 guys in pro,
two
guys inside.
So we're looking at a dozen.
Yeah.
Basically a dozen in scouting, whether it be pro or college.
Right.
And all you guys are here right now, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Why? Explain to the fans, and let you, Kyle, explain to the fans why everybody is here right now.
Everybody is here right now so that we can properly evaluate and have a working knowledge of our team. So that when we go out on the road and we're evaluating players, we can make valid comparisons in players' futures as to what these college players, how they're going to help us, what their role is going to be for the Jaguars, and how they can help us, what their role is going to be. In order to do so, you need to have a working knowledge of your team. Okay. So that you compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges.
And Andy, how does it break up during training camp? Okay, because you've got, you know, 90-man roster, and you know a dozen scouts, personnel guys that are all right here, and you guys are at practice every single day. Do you guys have assignments in each practice? Okay, let's say, hey, does Dave Caldwell say, hey, Andy, during training camp, I want you to watch the defensive backs, and Kyle, I want you to watch the offensive line, and Chris, I want you to watch, you know, wide receivers. Did you get broken up like
that?
Yeah,
that's how we do it. It's really good from the standpoint that this year, like, we rotated positions, so it gives us an opportunity. And when we're in the room watching
rotated
film,
from last year?
Yeah, from last year. Okay. You know, so I think like anything where our staff's been around, this is really a third year of all the people there, so we're trying to get variances of opinions. And then when we sit in the room, each person comments about their position or something that they see or something to point out. And sometimes it's really maybe not their position too. Somebody, they just see something. Mm-hmm. So it really helps us get a working knowledge. And as Kyle said, it's so important that we know our team before we head out on the road.
And the players probably have no idea that many sets of eyes are watching them on a daily basis. I'm not talking about just what happens when the whistle, before the whistle blows from, you know, the huddle break to the whistle. I'm talking about everything. You guys watch everything. From the time the player steps onto the field, how he walks, how he carries himself, how he talks, everything, don't you?
You know, Chris Cubb pointed out earlier, we have such an outstanding working relationship with the coaching staff here between Dave and Gus. They allow us the opportunity to sit in position meetings. So the players, you know, we're just in there to learn, really, so that, like Andy was saying, so that when we're watching the film together as a group, as a personnel department, we can help teach the other scouts what the players were taught in their position meetings. So they see us in there. And to be perfectly honest, in years past, a couple players have asked us why we're in there, and we explained why, and they appreciated it. You know,
I would have to think that they would, because you know what? You know, I can watch film all day long and evaluate athleticism and playmaking ability. But really, unless you know what the assignment is in a lot of cases or what the design of the system is, or whether it be offense or defense, it's got to be impossible to evaluate in a true sense.
Yeah, and it's as simple as a wide receiver maybe not bending a route and the ball looks like it's inaccurate, but if the ball is really well placed, the receiver just didn't run as accurate a route as he should have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that simple that when you're in there, then we can convey that to the other scouts in the room, and they do that with us as well, and it's such a good learning tool for us.
All right, before we take a commercial break, you guys each have assignments, right, in this training camp position groups, for the most part. Andy, who are you watching closely? Although you're watching everybody, who are you really focusing on?
The quarterbacks.
Okay, so Andy's got quarterbacks. Kyle, who are you looking at?
Linebackers.
Linebackers, a good, interesting position group. And Chris?
I've been trying to focus on the offensive line and the corners.
Ah. All right. So we got some topics here to talk about right here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll talk to Kyle, Chris, and Andy about these positions that they're looking at closely, and we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And this segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Jeff Lagerman here with the Gus Bradley Show, and we're actually kind of making this a little bit of a scouting show. Gus Bradley is out with the football team in a walkthrough, and we have Andy Dingler, Chris Driggers, and also Kyle O'Brien, all work in the scouting department under Dave Caldwell, various titles from pro personnel to college to just player personnel, which is pro and college. And I got to get something right here. Chris Driggers, I keep saying Chris, but it's Cub. I'm throwing Kyle off every time I say Chris, because that's your nickname, and you've had that for how long?
Well, middle name, actually. A lot of people, it throws them off, but it's actually my middle name.
Okay. Yep. But, I mean, you've been called Cub forever.
Oh, forever.
For your whole life.
Yeah. I used to say that only policemen and teachers call me Chris on the first day of school.
So yeah. You don't want to be called Chris.
No, Chris is not always good.
The positions that you guys evaluate, I know – Cub, your offensive line. Andy, you actually coached offensive line at the collegiate level.
Yeah,
couple yes, different places.
Yes, sir.
What college stops? I wrote it down here. Tiffin's and St. Joseph's.
That's right, yeah.
So. Did you play offensive line?
Yeah, I did.
What position?
I was a guard.
A guard?
Yeah.
Right guard? Left guard?
Both.
Both?
I played both. Yeah, we flopped.
Did you guys ever scout Andy?
No. No way.
Did you ever go back and watch any of each other's college tape or high school tape or anything like that?
No.
It probably wouldn't be
We'd
very
have to
good.
Break out the projectors.
Exactly. Projector. Yeah. My high school was projector film, so those days are long gone.
Let's start with the offensive line with Cub and Andy. Big position battle that's getting a lot of attention is the center position, and you have a draft pick at left guard. And when you have a high draft pick at left guard, there's obviously there's going to be competition there. I mean, the simple fact is if you have a high draft pick, you're expected to come in and start at some point, maybe in the first year, if not that, the second year. Let's start at the center position. We'll start with you, Cub. Mm-hmm. Your impressions of the battle so far between Stefan Wisniewski and Luke Bawenko?
Well, I mean, it's an outstanding battle because, in my opinion, they both can play and they both can start in the NFL. So, to me, that helps us out because it's competition, you know, at that spot. They're kind of two different players. You know, Luke is more of your athletic guy that can really get out there and he can reach, you know, he can scrape and get up to a linebacker. He's really athletic. And then you look at Steph, he's more of your big, strong, sturdy guy.
Now, kind of a wrestler type.
Yeah, he's what's funny is when you go back to you start talking about disagreements in players, he's a guy that Andy and I kind of went around about when he came out of college. Andy liked Wisniewski a lot. I wasn't sure that he would be as good as he's turned out to be. So I'm happy we have him now. He's a big, strong guy, and he's going to help us too.
All right, let's start a fight. Andy, what do you think about these two guys?
I like both of them, and I really, along with Cub, I really like Steph coming out. I thought he had really good hand strength and upper body control. Luke's a little bit better laterally, I think, in terms of taking stuff over, but he battles now. I mean, they're both really good players and both proven starters in the NFL.
Now, my impression is that you have two guys vying for one position that could spill over maybe somewhere else. Let's say Luke Bawenko wins the starting center position. Steph, as you call him, Cub, Stefan Wisniewski, has played guard in the past. He started out his rookie season as a guard for the Oakland Raiders. So could this really be eventually a competition, not just at center, but maybe into other positions as well?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, that just brings more value to our team. I would say Steph would probably be the guy that would be more suited for, like, guard in the power position, mm-hmm. coming off the ball and creating short area movement. But, I mean, both of them, I think, are athletic enough to play either and smart enough to play both positions,
right, bringing now, more I'm, value. I'm going to throw you a curveball here. What about Tyler Shatley? Tyler Shatley was a guy that, you know, last year, all of a sudden he, you know, was kind of going to get cut and then put on practice squad, interest from other teams. He looks strong. When you watch these two centers that are in the battle, you know, on the headlines, Wisniewski and Bawenko, and then you watch the game film, I don't know if Tyler Shatley's not stronger than either one of them.
He shows excellent upper body strength. I mean, he's got good grip strength. I mean, when he latches onto guys, they don't get very far, and he's been impressive. He's had a good camp, too.
Played guard. So then you're talking about another guy, you know, like correct. Wisniewski, that can play guard.
And then the one thing, too, Tyler just has more of a limited football play background, having been a defensive lineman at Clemson and moved over. And now really he's transitioned from guard his first year into center. And, you know, it's just more for him angles. But upper body strength-wise, I mean, he's just a big-time upper body strength. He latches on to guys. They you know, for him it's like working his hips, working angles, improving second level stuff. But he's got all the tools.
And that on game day. I mean, offensive line on game day, you've got, let's say you get seven guys active.
Seven.
Okay, so you got to have one guy that backs up in the middle and then one guy that's going to back up on the outside. So all three of these guys have value because they can play center and they all can play guards. So
ideally, like three guys that gunk into the game that can snap the ball. You know what I mean? Have three guys that are capable of stepping in and playing that position.
Early impressions from the two of you, and we'll start with you, Andy. The acquisition of Jeremy Parnell, I remember watching the film leading up to the Jaguars game in London when he was starting for the injured Doug Free. In fact, highlighted a couple of his plays on the Gus Bradley television show to show his athleticism, and he's got a little nasty to him. And teaming him with Brandon Leonard, so far since the pads have gone on, that's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and it was, you know, through the evaluation process, he was not hard to evaluate. You know, he's got good quickness. He almost, to me, has almost left tackle feet. So I think he's got swing ability as well. And he's got really good quickness. He's got good upper body strength. And he's got, what you said, nasty. Yeah, that's right. He looks to finish people. It's important for him to win personal battles, you know, on each snap, mm-hmm. which we need. And it's been a big upgrade.
And teaming him with the powerful Brandon Linder is a pretty good combination.
Yeah, it is big time. Both of those guys, I mean, Linder's the other guy. He's been, like, solid, steady Eddie ever since he walked in here, really, as a rookie. I mean, he's walked in.
Any of you expect that Brandon Linder would play at the level that he did last year? Kyle, you. Start with you. You've got college on your title.
To be perfectly honest, yes, we did. We had him as virtually as an immediate starter for us at guard, who also had some right tackle flexibility because he showed the versatility to play that in college. He was the bell cow there, and he's quickly established himself as one of the leaders in our offensive line room.
But he's what I love about him early on in pads, the matchup that I was looking forward to was Jeremy Parnell and Jared Odrick, or Brandon Linder and Jared Odrick. Jared Odrick is a strong man.
Definitely.
Brandon Linder is just as strong, mm-hmm. if not stronger.
That's right.
When those two lock up, that's a lot of power.
Brandon plays consistently with good inside hand control. He's got very good hand placement, and he's got strength to back it up. And then he plays with I think he's really improved his base this year, too. So he's actually getting and creating even more movement than he did a year ago. Right, he's still on the upside.
Let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We got the Jaguar scouts in the house, and that's what training camp is all about, is evaluation and determining what your roster has, not only for the season, but also the future. And we'll do that here with the Jaguar scouts on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. We are joined by three of the members of the scouting department. Andy Dingler, Assistant Director of Player Personnel. Chris Cub Driggers, Director of Pro Personnel. Kyle O'Brien, Director of College Scouting. All in-house for the Jaguars, obviously under Dave Caldwell. And here on the Gus Bradley Show, we talked about some offensive line. Kyle, what's your position group of focus?
I've been focused on the linebackers, right? Yes.
And that's an interesting position group because I think everybody knows what the starting combination is going to be with Paul Posluszny, Dan Skuda, and Telvin Smith.
Yes.
The interesting part comes what comes after that, because who has positional flexibility, much like we talked about with the center group, the linebackers have to have the same thing. But their biggest, you know, I guess you could say, recognition has to come from performance on special teams.
Yes.
Who in your mind out of that, once you get past the frontline guys, is making you take notice?
There's a couple. I mean, there's good competition there. There truly is. Leroy Reynolds, you know, he's the backup auto as well, but he's also shown position flexibility to play Mike. But you know, you denoted, if you're not a starting linebacker, you got to contribute on special teams. And Leroy has proven himself to be a very good special teams player for us over, you know, the last couple of years. Then you have Kyrie Fort, who's shown some flexibility to play both Mike and Will. Jeremiah George, again, Will to Mike. And Thurston Armbruster has been...
Yeah, the young rookie undrafted guy from Miami. He's kind of caught my eye a little bit.
Yep.
He's got some size.
He's got length. He's got athleticism. And he's been doing a very good job in the meetings in terms of picking up, retaining the coaching, and then being able to apply it.
I talked a little bit with him today at lunch. And I asked him, I said, how in the world can a linebacker from the U not get invited to the combine and go undrafted with his size and his measurables? How does that happen?
Sometimes it just—I mean, I can't give you a reason why, but we're glad he's here.
Yeah, I mean, he looks talented. The guy that I think also catches my attention—I've talked about him throughout the offseason a little bit—Jeremiah George. Yes. Last year, Paul Posluszny's injury happens. He plays the mic. He's actually starting at Cincinnati. It's the game before, you know, going to get on a plane and go to London, and he flashed. He's got some quick twitch. He's got some striking ability. He's got short area power. I think that he is going to be a guy that when special teams goes live, he will flash.
Mm-hmm. You know, during the break, we were just kind of talking ball here, and you use the term hips. He's got the ability to uncoil his hips, and he shows explosiveness at the point of attack. He just has that naturally to him. And it's exciting. It'll be exciting to see how he does throughout the preseason.
Yeah, one of the, I guess, big factors when you come down to roster making decisions is numbers, okay? Linebacking group, okay? Is it going to be five? Is it going to be six? Or could it be seven? With a 4-3 team, you would think the top number would be, what, six?
Six.
Six, which would be two deep at each position. Do you guys, does the talent at other positions go into that and factoring in whether somebody can make it out of position group? So, in other words, defensive back. All of a sudden, you guys have some depth there. Does the defensive back, could that possibly impact the numbers that you keep at linebacker? And I'll let you answer that, Cup.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we go over when, you know, the college scouts will go out and they'll put grades on guys, and we'll try to see if anybody on the wire is better than somebody maybe that's you know, towards the bottom end of our roster. But, yeah, I mean, what we'd like to do is keep the best 53 players. And sometimes if that means, you know, one position group goes, you know, one position short of what is, you know, customary, normal, we'd like to keep the best players if you can. I mean, but you, like you said, you got game day and you got to dress so many guys on game day. So if you can, I mean, if it means keeping five linebackers to keep, you know, your – if your 10th D lineman is the best player or the 10th DB being a corner, whatever, that's what you'd like to do.
And is this something that gets discussed throughout training camp? Is the roster formula for numbers at position groups?
Well, I think any roster is like a living roster. You know, I mean, you want to try to formulate, you know, the best players, Cubs said, having the best players on your team. So it's a liquid moving roster even through the season as to how to make adjustments. It is so imperative in the beginning that you really have the guys that can contribute and the guys that are closest to be active on game day.
In the beginning, it's more keeping the best players, and then injuries come into the play in the season, and then that, of course, factors in, you know, as the minute, you know, whether a guy goes on IR or you're carrying him.
Last question here before we take a break. Kyle, when you're evaluating, and Andy and Cub, when you guys are evaluating players and you're evaluating everything that they do, and you have practice, you have scrimmage, you have preseason games, are the games not the ultimate deciding factor?
Oh, I mean, they definitely. I mean, it's what you do between the white lines on game day that matters. I mean, all of this, everything that you're doing right now is you're gathering information, you're taking it all into account. And, you know, it's funny because we always kid with the college scouts because they're going to leave this weekend. And sometimes the way that the roster looks before they've played a game completely changes after the second and third preseason games, you know, when things shake out. So, yeah, this is an indicator, and it's good for us to evaluate, but ultimately it's what happens on the field.
So all of you guys are in town for how long, Andy?
I'm in town just till Saturday, then I leave Monday.
You're gone.
I'm gone, yeah. I travel out, and then we'll be back during cut week. You know, to basically look at all the other players that might become available on other teams.
All right, well, we'll take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little quarterback here. Obviously, Andy, that's the position that you've been closely evaluating here during Jaguars camp. And we'll do that right after this on the Gus Bradley Show, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the scouts. Gus Bradley is at Team Walkthrough. We have Andy Dingler, Assistant Director of Player Personnel. Cub Driggers, Director of Pro Personnel. And Kyle O'Brien, Director of College Scouting. Andy, the quarterbacks is really not your only focus, but your main focus in training camp so far before you leave on Saturday. Yesterday, it was widely reported that Blake Bortles had a pretty strong day. Your impression so far of him now, and then compare it and reflect back to last year at this point.
Well, the one thing, you know, that Blake is getting now are number one reps that he didn't get, you know, at this time at training camp last year. So it's really important that he's been able to work with the receivers that he's going to throw to. He has, you know, of course, he's in a new offense. We have a new offensive coordinator. So they're working out the scheme and reads and going through everything right now. I think he's done a good job adjusting to the new offense. I think he's had a good camp.
The throw that he had yesterday, 2-minute drill, it's hot. He threw a near interception off to the left side, which wasn't a great throw. And then the next play is Allen Hurns, who does not have go-deep speed, but somehow he always finds a way to get separation. And Blake does what I thought last year he did. That's the best thing that he does is what is called drop it in a bucket.
That's right.
And that throw to Allen Hurns, which Allen Hurns is not going to get a lot of separation, was the absolute perfect ball to be thrown.
Yeah, it was an excellent pass, excellent execution, and really it was really a win for us in scouting because it was good coverage as well. Mm-hmm. So we had three good things going on all at the same time.
Good coverage, good route, not a lot of separation, but just enough and a great throw.
That's right. And that's really, you know, in the NFL, there's really, at times, you're not going to have a lot of separation, and the quarterback has to be that accurate.
Is it hard to evaluate a quarterback like Blake Bortles? Because when you watch him out there, you know, and I was there at practice yesterday. I thought it was good practice. I won't call it great. Good practice. But today, when they're doing the goal line drill and they're having a little competition, it's offense versus defense, and it's tied up. It's 2-2, and I guess the script called for four plays. Well, they decided, Gus Bradley decides to run one extra play because it's tied up. You got to have a winner. Somebody's got to win. It's football, defense and offense. The last play, it's a broken play, and Blake Bortles does what he does so well and turns a play that has nothing into something, scrambles out to his left, walks in the end zone for a touchdown. Offense wins 3-2.
Yeah, and that, you know, one of the versatility that he brings is to be able to win with his legs. You know, he can get, create first downs if there's pressure. And, of course, he did a lot of it last year. Hopefully the protection would be better this year. Or he can stay more in the pocket and have, you know, more reads. But if it does break down, he does have, you know, the athletic ability to, like he showed today, you know, to be able to either score or get first downs and move the chains.
Getting past him, Chad Henne, how's he looked so far in training camp?
I think Chad's had a really good camp adapting to the offense. Today he made some really precise throws, and he's got a strong arm. He's done a really good job in camp.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, let's talk a few other position groups. I want to talk running back, in particular T.J. Yeldon, who I'm going to admit it. I wasn't a big fan of T.J. Yeldon. You know, I told you guys, I said, but you guys love him. And yes. And the more I watch, the more I love about T.J. Yeldon. We'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And Jeff Loggeman is joined by Kyle O'Brien, Chris Driggers, Andy Dengler, all in the scouting department under Dave Caldwell. I'm not going to go through the titles because we're kind of short on time. I want to get to some conversation about running backs. T.J. Yeldon, your draft pick out of Alabama. And I would start with you, Cub, but you're an Alabama grad, so you're out of this conversation because I know you're kind of partial to the Roll Tide guys. Let's start with you, Kyle. What did you guys really like about T.J. Yeldon coming out of college?
First of all, he came in as a true freshman and was very productive from the bat. To be 3 years, he was consistently productive. He's a big man with outstanding vision, very good lateral agility, and to be perfectly honest, he just knows how to run the ball.
Yeah, and lateral agility was, I think, Paul Posluszny described it a little bit differently. He said short area quickness. The vision and anticipation that he has when he gets in the hole, and he had one play in particular that was, I think today it was a short yardage play, and all of a sudden he made a cut when he was just about approaching the second level. That I think everybody on the football field went, oh, yeah. Oh, that was nice. But the one thing, and the reason I said I didn't like him coming out of college, and when I say I didn't like him, I liked him, but I didn't like him where he was drafted at. I liked some other guys. But the one thing that he probably doesn't have, he's got great size, he's got great vision, he's got great moves. The top-end speed, to be able to run away from a defense once he gets into the open field. Is that the one thing that maybe he only lacks?
Yeah, obviously he doesn't have, you know, the true 4.45 speed, but what he does so very well is he consistently moves the chains. As long as he keeps getting those positive yards, he very seldom was held for negative yards. He always got the positive yards, moved the chains, and that's most important for us.
Now, Andy, the reputation that he had out of college, very productive player, but might fumble sometimes.
Yeah, that was more early in his career than it was, you know, this past year. I thought he had, you know, rectified that situation. The one other thing, too, that he does, and just to add that, is that he doesn't run to contact. I mean, when he's in the second level and third level, he makes people miss in space. So for a guy that's, you know, not necessarily a true home run threat, he can really make make people miss.
And once you get past T.J. Yeldon, Toby Gerhart, you've got a young player from Auburn, and I've got to look at the sheet to make sure that Grant. I get his name Grant. Properly, Corey Grant. Not a big guy, but the speed that maybe T.J. doesn't have, Corey Grant's got it. And yeah. So, Cub, I can ask you about him because he's not an Alabama guy. He's an Auburn guy.
Give me the Auburn guy. Perfect. No, I mean he's definitely he's probably the fastest of the group. Denard ran 4.3 coming out, but I mean he has legit straight line speed. I mean he is. It's going to be fun to watch him. I think especially maybe as a kick returner in the preseason, it's going to be. I think he's got a chance to break one.
All right, we come back. We'll wrap up the Gus Bradley Show with these three guys: Andy Dinger, Chris Driggers, Cub Driggers, and Kyle O'Brien in the Jaguars scouting department. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And Jeff Loggeman joined by Andy Dingler, Cub Driggers, and Kyle O'Brien, all part of Dave Caldwell's scouting staff. The position group that we'll talk about here in the short time that we have is defensive backs. You guys have made some additions. Not all of them are on the field. James Sample is still out with mending on the mend. Had a surgery to fix his arm that he broke in the offseason activities. Right now you've got some Sergio Brown in the backfield, Josh Evans, a mix of other guys. You've added Devon House at the corner spot. Is this also, besides the offensive line, we'll start with you, Kyle, probably the most competitive group that there is out there now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like you said, it's just competition, and it's good competition out there. There are good players battling for selected spots.
And the guy that seems to be standing out today at a pick six, Aaron Colvin. Your draft pick from last year that overcame an ACL reconstruction seems to be coming into his own. His knee braces off, and he's playing with confidence.
Absolutely. You know, Coach Bradley always uses the term code black, and Aaron is definitely a code black player. He loves the game. He plays with passion. He approached his rehab with passion. He studies. He's just a smart football player who finds the ball.
And it's amazing the size that's in the secondary now, Andy. You look at, you know, obviously, Demetrius McCray. You have Devon House, the free agent from Green Bay. You know, even a guy like Tommy Campbell, who's little known. He had an interception today. He's got those measurables, that corner position that Gus loves in his defense.
That's correct. And it's really, they all fit really the blueprint of what Gus wants in a corner from a size, a speed standpoint. And you know, they play a lot of press man. They got to run vertical. And all those guys fit the bill for that.
How do you guys think it will play out? You know, I mean, because this is you know, it's an interesting battle. Is a veteran guy like Sergio Brown Cub, is a guy that, you know, he's got some snaps under his belt, not necessarily as a free guy, but more as a strong type guy, can he fit the bill for a little while? Or do you have confidence in all of them?
Well, I think you got confidence in all of them. It went from a young group to an experienced group, I think, almost overnight, because the youth that we played with has turned into NFL starts, and then you sign guys like House and Sergio Brown that have veteran experience. I think the whole group overall has really improved. The competition at corners is as good as anywhere on the team.
Kyle, tell me about Sample, James Sample.
Yes.
Louisville, got there 2 days, I guess, prior to the start of camp, earned a starting job.
Yeah.
Great open field tacklers, got some ball skills. Is he a guy that could be a starter by the end of the year?
We're very excited about James. Like you said, you know, he began his career at Washington. They tried to move him to linebacker, but he wanted to stay at safety. Went to JUCO, came back. We talk about he is an explosive hitter. He has the ability to uncoil his hips and strike at the point of attack, but he's just not a thumper. He's not in the box guy. He has the ability, he has the range to play over the top and play red line to red line for us. He finds the ball. It's going to be very good competition between he and Sergio.
Yeah, I like the way that, from watching his college tape, because after the draft you go and you watch these guys a little bit more closely maybe than you did, if at all, anyway. And I like the way he plays the game and the ability to open field tackle. Safety's got to have that.
That's correct. That's he's sure. Very an aggressive player.
Hey, I appreciate you guys all sitting in. Mm-hmm. And maybe at some point we can get you guys on Jaguars.com to do a little scout's eye, huh? Think we can do that?
You got to clear it through Dave.
That's
first.
Right.
Got to talk to the boss.
That's right.
Caldwell. I appreciate it again, guys. We'll talk to everybody next week. Same time, same place right here on the Gus Bradley Show.